As I said at the beginning of the service, it's really good to be home. It's good to be back here. A lot has happened since I saw you last. In the middle of June, we had a really good area parish conference in Ottawa with about 75 people from across the diocese who are all involved in the worship and ministry in area parishes as we are here. And we had the chance to share and inspire one another with the work that God is accomplishing through us in different parts of our diocese. And then from there, I continued on to London, England for the annual meeting of the Board of Trustees of the Anglican Alliance. I've spoken briefly about that work before. The Anglican Alliance is the way that the whole of the Anglican Communion around the world works together on issues of relief and development. But it's more than just a bigger version of our Canadian PWRDF. The purpose of the Anglican Alliance isn't to raise money to deliver projects around the world. Instead, it serves as a place of connection. We pray for each other. We share resources and expertise across regions and across countries. It's also the way that Anglicans around the world work together on some of these common issues of justice and of care for our world and our people. Can you imagine what we could do to change the world if all 86 million Anglicans around the world were working together to end human trafficking or modern-day slavery? Or if all 86 million of us were working together to reduce climate change? That's the work of the Anglican Alliance. And so I'm there representing North America with some bishops and archbishops from around the Anglican Communion, some heads of Anglican relief and development agencies, and some really talented Anglican lay people from around the Communion. And together we seek God and seek to make God known and serve God's mission around the world through this work of coming together. We also work to keep connections and communication happening across the Anglican Communion. As you can imagine, with 86 million of us, we don't always see eye to eye on everything. There's some issues which challenge our unity as a communion, such as the conversation around marriage and who can be married to whom. But the Anglican Alliance is able to bridge those differences and work with and through everyone, even the parts of the Anglican Communion that wouldn't normally work together because of some of these differences. Because we all agree about feeding the hungry, about clothing the naked, about seeking to bring peace into war-torn parts of our world. And that's where the Anglican Alliance is able to step in on our behalf. It was a really good meeting. It was an honor to have been nominated by our primate, Archbishop Fred, to serve as our representative there. And then, as you know, Matthew and I continued on for some holidays, and you'll hear more about that later. I think Matthew's going to do some storytelling next week. Here in Canada, this week, bishops, clergy, and lay delegates from across the Anglican Church of Canada will be gathering in Vancouver for our General Synod. Every 3 years, this body meets and sets the course for the church as a whole over the coming 3 years. This year, there's going to be some really important and really difficult decisions for us to make as a church. Like the Anglican Communion as a whole, our Anglican Church of Canada contains many different views on the issue of marriage. One of the things that will be looked at General Synod this year is Canon 21, which is our canon on marriage and who can be married by an Anglican priest in an Anglican church here in Canada. This, of course, is not the first time that Anglicans have looked at changing our canon on marriage. 1967, we changed the marriage canon to allow divorced persons to be married in the church. This year, if the motion is passed, then all couples, irrespective of their gender, will be able to have an Anglican wedding in an Anglican church across this country. Another important conversation at General Synod this year will be looking at the life of Indigenous people within the Anglican Church of Canada. Since 1969, the Anglican Church of Canada has been on a journey of reconciliation with Indigenous peoples. We closed all of the residential schools that we operated. And in 1993, then Primate Michael Pearce issued an apology to Indigenous people on behalf of all of the church for the harm caused by those residential schools. We have an Indigenous council now within the Anglican Church of Canada, and we've appointed a national Indigenous bishop. Relationships are slowly being built between Indigenous Anglicans and settler Anglicans. But it's slow going because of the history of colonization and the legacy of abuses that followed across this country. As we rebuild relationships, one of the things that we have realized is that decisions, the way that decisions are made within the settler church is really different than the way that decisions are made within the Indigenous church. And so at this General Synod, one of the things that we are being asked to consider is the creation of a self-determining Indigenous Anglican church within the Anglican Church of Canada. This isn't about creating a new church, but rather recognizing and acknowledging different models of governance and decision-making that need to happen across the church for each part of the body to flourish. And lastly, at this General Synod, we will be electing a new primate. We were so privileged to have our current primate, Archbishop Fred, here with us last October for the celebration of new ministry for our parish. He is retiring, and at this General Synod, we will be voting on who will follow him as primate. It's a big job. It's a difficult job. We have five bishops from across the country who have allowed themselves to be nominated for that role. And our delegates to General Synod will prayerfully choose one of them to lead our church in the years to come. So why do I share all of this? I share it because I think it's really important for us to remember that we are a part of something bigger, that we're part of a national and a global movement of people seeking after God and seeking to live into God's ministry and mission in our local contexts. I share because these people all around the world are our siblings who we are called to love and pray for each day and each week. And we are walking with them in the ministry of God's kingdom. And I share because over the coming days, weeks and months, we may see some of these things that I've spoken about in the news, both in the church news, in the Anglican Journal and Crosstalk, but also in the secular media. Some of our brothers and sisters will be hurt, whatever the outcome of any of the General Synod votes that I talked about. And some of us may have our faith shaken by the outcome of those votes. And I share because these are things that I thought about while reading our gospel reading for today. Why, you might ask? Well, in our gospel reading from Luke, we heard the story of Jesus commissioning the 70 to go out into ministry. Consider the instructions that he gives. Carry no purse or sandals. Speak peace as you enter a house. Eat what is placed before you. Invest in one home, one family, one town. Don't linger in hopeless places. Don't get cocky. Remember, the kingdom of God comes near whether you are accepted or rejected. and trust that any peace which is spurned will return to you. Nothing in the kingdom is wasted. Here, Jesus is setting before the 70 disciples a task that is extraordinarily hard because it is so exceptionally easy. It's so easy that it seems both countercultural and counterintuitive. It's so easy that it can make us wary. What's the task? The task is to live simply and with vulnerability, to rely on the grace and the hospitality of others, to live as guests, sharing our faith as if our lives depended on it, and to speak peace above all things, to go in love. And after having been sent out, those 70 disciples all return to Jesus, presumably having done what he asked them, and filled with all of the wonders they have witnessed. And in reply to their excitement, Jesus says a strange thing. He says, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning." Meaning, when we do what Jesus asks, when we travel the hard, easy path of vulnerability, humility, love, and peacemaking, evil trembles. Demons fall, the world changes, and God's kingdom comes. And yet, it's amazing how often we needlessly complicate the Christian life. But what does God want me to do? What is God's will for my life? Are the answers really that hard? Do justice. Love mercy, walk humbly, pray, listen, learn, and love. Break the bread, drink the wine, bear the burden, share the peace. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And so as we go into this week, as our church prepares for General Synod, and as our Anglican Communion and our Anglican Church of Canada continues to discern how we walk together, this is both my prayer of thanksgiving and my prayer of petition. Thanksgiving for the work of the Anglican Alliance, of PWRDF, and of other agencies around the Communion who work to bring peace and love to everyone. And a petition for our church, that we may continue to pray, listen, and learn together in love. That we would continue to break the bread and share the peace together. That we would humbly walk together, seeking after God. Amen.